Wow. What an incredible finish to the 121st U.S. Open Championship. Two things first that I have to acknowledge, and that is that I certainly hope my partner in crime, Jay Randolph Jr., had a great Father's Day with his legendary dad, two super broadcasters, and Jay, you deserve a lot of credit. John Rahm, quite a bit back, was your tab to win the United States Open. By the way, how did you do with DraftKings?
I won my double up game. Unfortunately, Cameron Smith with a late bogey only got me four players to the weekend, so I didn't really win any. I broke even for the week. I laid off Rahm in the DraftKings because his price was so high. But, you know, this is a significant signature victory for this guy. When you look at the adversity of what happened at Memorial, you take the COVID factor into account. You look at the fact he's been so close to winning majors. You know he's always my pick at Augusta. His knowledge of the golf course, his love of the property, having gotten engaged to his wife there, getting his first victory there. I mean, you know, we had an incredible script at the PGA, and this came close to equaling it, Bob. The only Spaniard ever to win the U.S. Open Championship. He talked about how passionate Seve was to win it. And never could. Great victory for John Rahm. And I really think that the next two or three years, he's got a chance to grab three or four of these things and get himself into a different class. Time will tell if he can do it. What an attractive leaderboard as well. When you look at the names that were all up there, the top players in the game, or the majority of the top players in the game, thought it was a great U.S. Open.
Jay Randolph Jr., let me ask you this, because I've been dying to pop this question to you. I feel very strongly. I want to see where your conviction comes from. Those last two putts on the 71st and 72nd holes at Torrey Pines by John Rahm are the two finest finishing putts in U.S. Open history.
I mean, if not that, right there with others. I mean, you know, to birdie the 71st and 72nd hole at a U.S. Open. Now, granted, a par 5 18th, but you know what? I don't care. There were a lot of pars there. There were bogeys and double bogeys and the pressure and all of that. I mean, and the putter, you know, coming through for a guy that, you know, is seemingly a great ball striker. Sometimes the putter's not there. It was there on Sunday on the final two holes when he needed it.
And I want to clarify a little bit about my statement. I can hear Grill Room listeners jumping up and down, probably referring back to the putt Payne Stewart made at Pinehurst, and the putt that Tiger made at Torrey Pines. But you got to listen carefully. Those were a single putt, and they were humongous. They were giants in the industry, and they'll be there. But John Rahm had to do it on the 71st hole and then duplicated on the 72nd hole, and he came through. Had to bring a smile to Seve's face.
No question. Let's hear from John Rahm about all that it was like on Sunday at Torrey Pines.
As a father, on my first Father's Day, with my dad here, to get this one done the way I did, this one might steal the show for a couple days. This is very, very incredible, very, very hard to believe. The fact that I stayed patient and hopeful, and I believed that something good was coming my way, is what helped, you know. I never lost hope for a second. I kept hitting good shots. I kept giving myself chances. My mindset was the same on the first putt, on Thursday till the last one on 18. I mean, situation does change a little bit, but routine and really staying in the present is what helps. It's incredible that I'm sitting next to this trophy, you know. A couple of weeks ago, I watched my good friend Phil win the PGA, and I took a lot of inspiration from that, you know. I just knew on a Sunday, the way I had been playing on the Sunday, the last few majors, I just had to be close, and I knew I could get it done, and I'm keeping that good Sunday mojo going, and man, I got it done in a fashion that apparently only can happen to me at Torrey Pines.
You know, Jay, I really love his attitude. I love his appreciation of the sport, and I feel very strongly that we could not have a better ambassador for the game right now than the likes of John Rahm.
I also find it interesting, you know, the fear for Rahm was somewhat his emotions and his fiery attitude could not only get him motivated, but could also get in his way. And in the last 6 months, really since last year's Masters, I think he's figured out a way that works best for him. You heard him talking about his mental approach and you know, his friend Phil Mickelson. And Phil had a certain mental approach with the breathing and stuff at Kiowa. So, you know, strong stuff from John Rahm. And, you know, this was something he was missing. He now has it in his cache. I think the only question now becomes, how many will he end up in his trophy closet?
That is the question. Somebody that made an excellent run at, clinching that trophy. He's kind of used to finishing second. He's a hell of a player and a damn good guy. And I'm talking about Louis Oosthuizen, and here's his comments after his round.
John played a great round of golf. 4 under today on that golf course is a really good score. And I took the tee shot on 17, and I knew it was a crucial hole for me to take it on and give myself a birdie opportunity. I feel like I hit my shots, I went for it, and you know, that's what you have to do to win majors, and sometimes it goes your way and other times it doesn't.
What a great attitude, right, Jay?
Yeah, you know, maybe a little more accepting than he should be, but that's all right. He, you know, that's Louis. And you know, you look at the way in which he played 17 and 18 as compared to John Rahm, and there you go. But again, another major championship where this guy is right there on Sunday. And, you know, one of these weeks he's going to be there and that putter's going to be on, and it could be interesting, you know, if he gets the putter really going. I mean, he putted better here than he did at the PGA Championship, but those two mistakes down the stretch off the tee at 17 and 18 costly.
Well, the mistakes by Bryson DeChambeau, he refers to them as just being unlucky. Here's him saying it in his words.
Torrey's a great test. I mean, the greens are very difficult to read. They're pretty bumpy because of the Poana, but that's just a part of it. And we all got to deal with it, and somebody shot low score today. So I was right there, and you know, I'm just glad I gave myself a chance being a defending champion. I haven't done that ever with any of my wins, so I was proud of that.
So he put up a good fight. He really did. It didn't go his way.
He hung tough, I will say that. And I think he hung tough, again, trying to play the golf course differently than the majority, if not all, the field. He does have to get a little luck as it relates to lies, because he's made decisions on holes that he's taken the fairway out. You know, he did fight. But I think in the end, the things that you and I appreciate about a U.S. Open were the things that were costly to Bryson in the end. And maybe that defense that a golf course needs was there.
Well, our next guest in the grill room, certainly not a happy camper, Rory McIlroy.
You know, I put up a good fight. I started the round well today, and You know, just El Rue, the three putt on 11, it sort of stopped the momentum. And then I got a little unlucky on 12 and made double from there. But, you know, take those two holes out, the rest of the week was really good.
All right, Rory McIlroy, you know, the longer it goes without the situation being rectified, the tougher it's going to be for Rory McIlroy. Russell Henley, wow, he put up a great tournament.
Yeah, he did. It's unfortunate that he had kind of the finish in which he did. He dropped a ton of strokes and a ton of cash over the last couple of holes. But the Georgia Bulldog and the native Georgian hung in very well. And I think you can say the same for Mackenzie Hughes. You know, usually you've got to get a little taste of what it's like to be in the mix at a U.S. Open. And these guys got it. It's been a long time for Henley. Mackenzie's got a bright future. Some other big names that really didn't factor, but they were there. I mean, there was a lot for the taking for a little portion of the tournament on that front nine. But because of the difficulty of the golf course and some mistakes, nobody was really able to make any big move like Koepka and Morikawa, two major champions that finished tied for fourth. And once again, consistent in top 10, but no trophy, Bob, Paul Casey.
Yeah, he just keeps knocking on that door. It seems like he really plays different Thursday through Saturday. And then Sunday, I don't know. I mean, he's such a great golfer. He's got all the shots. He's a good putter. Quite frankly, I'm flabbergasted that Paul Casey hasn't won a major by now.
You would have thought somewhere along the way, and he's obviously been very close and clipped a couple of times and cost himself a couple of times, but you'd have thought he'd have gotten one. Guys that played decent, you know, but weren't necessarily in the mix. You got Patrick Cantlay, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, who got it going a little bit on Sunday, but then ran into a train wreck, and Dustin Johnson tied there for 19th, and Bob, three Englishmen, Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood, and Richard Bland, who made it fun for 2 days and ended up tied for 50th. Fun to have him in the mix for the first 36.
But as we put it in the history books, Jay Randolph Jr., one of the good ones, one of the exceptional ones, one that's really going to be tough to beat, in all honesty.
Yeah, I mean, two in a row, back-to-back, with ties with each other because of the Mickelson and Tim Mickelson and John Rahm relationship, because of San Diego, with what Phil did at Kiowa and the drama of that, and then to have Rahm with the story of, you know, him walking off a green, looking like he's going to win Jack's tournament the next day, and them telling you got COVID, and now you're worried about the United States Open and whether you're going to get in and this and that. A signature win for Rombo.
And now the tour goes from coast to coast all the way to the Travelers Championship at TPC River Highlands in Cromwell, Connecticut. Dustin Johnson is defending, but what about Bubba Watson and his love affair with Travelers? He's looking for his fourth Travelers win. Golly, 14 major championships have been won by those playing the Travelers Championship. So it's certainly, Jay, a very strong field.
A kind of hang around at a U.S. Open for a little bit. But, you know, I mean, this, let's be honest, Bob, this used to be not the necessarily the best field in golf. But, I mean, my goodness, you got Garrett Higo, the guy that won on the European Tour and came over here and won the Palmetto. Phil is playing. Koepka's playing. Cantlay's playing. Paul Casey's playing. Patrick Reed's playing. Justin, I mean, Bryson's playing. What's going on? A week after a major, they're playing. I mean, it says something about what they're doing at the Travelers.
Well, we know why Brooks is playing, because I'm sure the deal was Brooks said, I'll play. You got a spot for my brother? They said his locker's right down the aisle on the right-hand side.
Chase Koepka will be playing on a sponsor exemption. So will John Pack, the top collegiate player who just turned professional, as those young guys that got done with the NCAA championship. You saw some of them make the cut, actually, at the U.S. Open as amateurs, and now they will be turning pro and should be fun to watch their success. So, Bob, it doesn't stop. We're a couple of weeks away from the British Open. We've still got the playoffs. Lot to get to the rest of the year.
No doubt we're seeing the positive influence in these fields because of FedEx Cup points, that golden carrot at the end of the tour year. Once again, John Rahm from In the Grill Room, Bob and Jay, we thank you for giving us an outstanding United States Open.
Don't forget, if you'd like to drop us a line or give us your thoughts or opinion on the show, we'd love to hear from you. I'm STL Golf Geek on Twitter, while Bob, the VOG, the voice of golf, Bob Bubka, VOG. Check us out on Twitter.